Good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are. Okay, we're continuing our study of the secrets of the future temple. The English translation of a book written by the Ramchal, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto. And today we're going to start with some understanding about who Rabbi Chaim Luzzatto is and how he relates to this material. Continuing to read the essay, or starting this essay about Rabbi Chaim Luzzatto. Ever since his brief sojourn in this world in the early 1700s, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, the Ramchal, has been a faithful and beloved guide for generations of Jewish spiritual seekers. His admirers range from towering giants such as Rabbi Elijah, the Gaon of Vilna, to the growing thousands of present-day returnees to Judaism who are discovering in Ramchal's works a living source of profound insight and inspiration. Ramchal's classic exposition of the Torah path of spiritual development, Mesilat Yesharim, the path of the just, has for hundreds of years been accepted by all sections of Jewry and is part of the curriculum in many yeshivas and other centers of Torah study. With the publication of more and more of Ramchal's other writings on Hashkafa, which is translated loosely as the Torah worldview, and Kabbalah, he is now being recognized as one of the outstanding Kabbalistic geniuses of all time. It's actually an understatement. After the Ari, there are four paths that come out of the Ari's writing and teachings. Everybody follows the Ari for the most part. There are a few people who still want to teach material from the previous generations. But for the most part, all of Judaism follows the Ari in today's world, or at least pays lip service that they do. So the four paths that come out of the Ari, one is the Hasidic movement through the Baal Shem Tov. One is the Sephardic movement through the Ben Ish Chai. One is the the Ashkenazi movement through the Gaon de Vilna. And the fourth one is through the Ramchal, who has his own direction. Now, I'm sure this essay will cover it, but it's been an unfortunate experience. A lot of the Ramchal's writings were burned by force of Bet Dins in various communities that he lived, who found his material to be unacceptable as a teacher. They didn't understand his teachings. He was ahead of his time, etc., whatever explanation you want to give. But the fact remains, much of what the Ramchal wrote has been lost to us. The Gaon de Vilna said he would have walked all the way to Italy just to sit at the feet of the Ramchal. The Gaon said that Ramchal was the only sage since the Ari who truly understood the Kabbalah. And this is extremely high praise because the Gaon de Vilna has his own system of Kabbalah that is very much concealed. It's only in the last 20, 30 years that it's been taught. But but it's been alive in Israel since he sent some of his students from Europe to live in Israel and to bring the consciousness that he teaches. But we're talking about the Ramchal today. The contribution of Ramchal to Kabbalah has been compared to that of the Rambam to the Halakha. Out of the vast sea of Talmudic literature that only outstanding scholars could master, the Rambam distilled his comprehensive code of Torah law, the Mishneh Torah, on an all-time model of clarity and order, easily understood even by a schoolboy. Similarly, Ramchal brought order and clarity to the labyrinth of the Kabbalistic concepts and teachings in the writings of the Ari, producing a ladder of ascent, an entry into its mysteries that can be used profitably by any serious student. A similar phrase, a similar assertion, is made about Rabbi Ashlag. Many people say that both men were sparks of the soul of the Ramchal. Born in Padua, Italy in 1707, the Ramchal was a childhood prodigy who quickly mastered not only the intricacies of the Talmud, but also other disciplines such as logic and rhetoric. He even wrote plays. At the age of 14, he produced a summary of the entire system of the Etz Chaim in 10 chapters, written in the style of the Mishnah. The Ramchal clearly obtained all the levels of piety, purity, and Holy Spirit that he later elucidated in his Mesilat Yesharim, The Path of the Just, which is, as said earlier, studied in many, many yeshivot, and is a major book of Musar within the Jewish communities on all the different levels. By the time he was 20, his Bet Midrash was a flourishing center of Kabbalistic study and devotion, while his sermons in the synagogues of Padua inspired many estranged Jews to return to their roots. But Ramchal's very success aroused the evil eye, and before long he found himself at the center of a furious controversy over his public teaching of Kabbalah. What especially aroused the ire of his opponents were the reports that he received regular visits from holy souls and magidim, spiritual guides, at whose dictation he wrote entire books and discourses, including several in the style of the Zohar. The Jewish world was still suffering from the ructions caused or disruptions caused by Shabbatai Tzvi's terrible perversion of Kabbalah only a generation or two earlier, providing extra fuel for the fierce campaign of persecution waged against Ramchal by leading figures in the community in Italy and beyond. And this has also been true of the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Ashlag, the Bergs from the Kabbalah Center fame, all of this, all of these men and their teachings have been confused and abused and misunderstood by the powers that be. The public study of Kabbalah has been frowned on by the traditional sources. And anybody who taught Kabbalah publicly was sent through some difficult times. At the height of the controversy, the Ramchal wrote to his teacher, Rabbi Yeshaya Basan, "My way is to nod my head at every wave that comes. No matter what those wicked people say about me, it is of no more significance in my eyes than garlic peel. I am not disheartened. I pay no attention to them. I am not interested in honor or greatness. I will go in the purity of my heart within my house together with God, who has ever been my shepherd." Those words being taken out of context can lead one to a very positive aspect about the Ramchal, or one that's very negative. What right does he have to say that the other people talking about his work are wrong? Perhaps he is wrong. Of course, the generations afterwards have come to prove he's right. But at the time, these words to his teacher do not show a very humble person. For the sake of peace, Ramchal agreed to stop teaching and writing for a while. This is the beginning of a humble person. He even said he would allow his writings to be burned if it would help restore the peace, just as the red heifer has to be burned in order for its ashes to be used to purify those defiled by contact with the dead. Before long, however, Ramchal decided to leave Italy, and in 1737, at the age of 29, he moved to Amsterdam. There he was received with great respect. He supported himself by working as a lens grinder, while writing some of the works for which he is best known, including the Masiliat Yesharim, The Path of the Just, and Derech Hashem, The Way of God, a Kabbalistic treatise. Some years later, he decided to journey to the Holy Land, where he died in an outbreak of plague in Acre in 1747. He was 39. His grave, overlooking Tiberias, is adjacent to the burial cave of Rabbi Akiva, of whom Ramchal's students consider their master to have been a reincarnation. One never knows who one is a reincarnation of, especially when it comes to the level of teaching Kabbalah. This next section called Kabbalistic Writings. In his introduction to Derech Hashem, his systematic exposition of the fundamentals of Jewish faith, Ramchal writes, "Organized knowledge of a subject and the interrelationship of its various parts is superior to disorganized knowledge. Just as a beautiful garden arranged with beds of flowers, paths, and rows of plants is superior to a chaotically overgrown forest. Any given subject contains such a multitude of individual details that the human mind cannot contain them all. A person should always endeavor to grasp general principles. Even general principle includes numerous individual details. When a person understands one principle, he automatically understands a great number of details." That statement is why Rabbi Ashlag stresses that we not look at charts to understand things. We need to understand things from the level of the general, and then use the individual details to build our clear understanding of that general. This is a very, very interesting and difficult point to understand to people. How can I understand if I can't visualize it? How can you understand if you do visualize? Derech Hashem was in fact written as the first rung of a carefully devised ladder of ascent from general knowledge of the foundations of Jewish faith and belief to a deep understanding of Kabbalistic concepts that underlie them. The next rung in the ladder is Da'at Tevanah, translated as the knowing heart, cast in the form of a philosophical dialogue between the intellect and the soul. This work explains all the basic contours of the Kabbalistic view of creation and its purpose, but without using Kabbalistic terminology. The third rung of the ladder consists of the Klalim Rishonim, the first principles, and Pitchei Chochma Vadat, openings of wisdom and understanding, which present the entire array of Kabbalistic concepts in Etz Chaim in a clear, orderly way. The top rung of the ladder is Klach Pitchei Chochma, 138 openings of wisdom, an in-depth exploration of the meaning and significance of those concepts. That book has been translated into English. Not that it helps to understand it that way. The above are among over 90 works known to have been written by the Maram Chal, besides others that may have been lost. His works include commentary on Bible, Zohar, and the writings of the Ari, explanations of mystical devotions and collections of prayers, as well as works on logic, grammar, rhetoric, and Talmudic reasoning. Until today, numerous surviving works have never been printed. Misalat Yesharim has long been readily available, but until relatively recently, the few other works of Ramchal that were brought to press were often hard to find and poorly printed. Since the 70s, a series of fine, accurate Hebrew editions of many of Ramchal's most important works have been published through the efforts of the late Rabbi Chaim Friedlander and a number of other scholars, bringing them within easy reach of growing numbers of students. In addition, the Ramchal is now accessible to those who do not know Hebrew through the translations of The Path of the Just, The Way of God, and The Knowing Heart, as well as some of his works on logic and reasoning. He was a prolific writer, and all of his writings are phenomenal and highly recommended, except in a certain area of Kabbalistic teaching, who have indicated that he is not to be studied, God forbid. His material is phenomenal. Highly recommended by me. A miracle of providence. It is one of the great miracles of providence and a sign of God's love and compassion for the Jewish people that we have in our possession today the work translated in this volume, the Mishkaneh Elyon, The Secret of the Third Temple. The Ramchal mentions the work by name in a letter he wrote to his teacher, Rabbi Yeshaya Bassan, in 1729. This was at the height of the fury against the Ramchal, when his opponents sought to burn his writings and prevent him writing any more. The date of the letter indicates that Ramchal was no more than 22 years old when he wrote this work. Phenomenal statement. Another contemporary reference is contained in a letter by Rabbi Yitzhak Pacifico of Venice, who mentions that Ramchal wrote an explanation of Ezekiel's vision of the temple and of the heavenly temple, which he called Mishkanei Elyon. The work was not printed during the Ramchal's lifetime, and nothing is known about what happened to it thereafter, until a single manuscript, the only known copy of the work in existence, came to light in 1956 in the Bodleian Library in Oxford, in a bundle of unidentified Kabbalistic manuscripts. The manuscript in question did not bear the name of its author, but the scholar, Professor Yeshaya Tishbi, identified it as the work of Ramchal. The manuscript itself is thought to be in the hand of Ramchal's leading student, Rabbi Shlomo David Trevis. Is thought to be, meaning there is no confirmation of where the original single manuscript that we have is. The Mishkanei Elyon was transcribed by Rabbi Yosef Spinner, who divided it into titled sections and added explanatory notes. The text was printed for the first time in 1980 in Ginzei Ramchal, a volume of Ramchal's Kabbalistic writings published in Israel by the late Rabbi Chaim Friedlander. That edition included a short introduction by Rabbi Friedlander. Rabbi Spinner's notes in a plan of the Third Temple, prepared by Rabbis Moshe Devir and Yosef Yitzhak Lipschitz. At the request of the Lubavitch Rebbe, a new edition of Mishkanei Elyon was published in a separate volume in 1993 by the Ramchal Institute in Jerusalem. This edition contains an introduction by Rabbi Mordechai Shirky, the director of the Institute, together with his commentary on the five chapters. That is the end of the essay discussing the writings of the Ramchal. But there is so much more to know about this man. And the more one knows about him, the more one connects to him. Just as the more one knows about God, the more one becomes closer to God. The next section is an essay preparing us to actually enter the writings. It is titled The Heavenly Temple. The Ramchal clearly explains the purpose of Mishkanei Elyon in his opening words. My purpose in this work is to discuss the subject of the heavenly temple mentioned by our sages, to explain its form and structure in all their various details, and to show how the earthly temple is in direct alignment with it in its structure and all its dimensions. Does it say they're equal? No, it doesn't, because they're not. But there is a direct relationship. There are ratios that apply. Much can be learned in study. The heavenly temple is mentioned in a number of places in rabbinic literature. In the Talmud, we find Rabbi Yochanan said, "The Holy One, blessed be He, declared, 'I will not enter the heavenly Jerusalem until I enter the earthly Jerusalem.'" Is there then a heavenly Jerusalem? Yes, as it is written, Jerusalem will be built like the city that is joined to it together. The Zohar states the earthly sanctuary depends upon the upper sanctuary, and that upper sanctuary depends in turn upon another upper sanctuary, which is the most exalted of all. All of them are included in one another, and this is the meaning of the verse, and the sanctuary was one. The statement of the Zohar indicates that there are two heavenly sanctuaries, one above the other. This explains the phrase from the Psalms, which Ramchal took as the title of his work, Mishkanei Elyon. The phrase is contained in the following verse. There is a river whose streams bring joy to the city of God, the holy place of the dwellings of Supreme Mishkanei Elyon. The Hebrew phrase Mishkanei Elyon could also be translated as the sanctuaries above, alluding to the two heavenly sanctuaries mentioned by the Zohar. How many sanctuaries are there? How many temples are there? There's two spiritual and one physical. But why is there not a fourth? Because there's always, we discuss four worlds. Where is that missing? Much to be learned in this study. The lower of these two heavenly sanctuaries is mentioned in a Midrashic comment on the verse. And it came to pass on the day that Moses completed erecting the sanctuary. Rabbi Shimon said, at the time when the Holy One, blessed be He, told the Jewish people to erect the sanctuary, he hinted to the ministering angels that they too should make a sanctuary. When the sanctuary was erected in the lower world, this angelic sanctuary was erected above. This is the sanctuary of the lad, the angel whose name is Memtet, where he offers the souls of the Tzaddikim in order to atone for Israel during their time of exile. The passage from the Zohar quoted earlier indicates that even higher than this heavenly sanctuary of the angels stands another sanctuary. This supreme heavenly temple is the subject of Ramchal's Mishkanei Elyon. Of it, he writes, this holy house was created before the universe. For it is from this house that all created beings receive their power and sustenance. This is the temple that Ezekiel saw in his vision, and it is the prototype of the third temple, which will be an actual physical structure in this world. I'm leaving this paragraph alone because there are people who indicate that the third temple will not be a physical structure. But most people read the prophecies as clearly there will be a physical structure that comes down from heaven and then has its doors applied by human beings. I'm going to stop right now because the next sections are starting to get into the specifics, and I think that would be more appropriate to be done separately. I do not perceive this essay as one essay. I perceive it as two, what we've just discussed and what we will discuss at 10 tonight, the structure of the Mishkanei Elyon. Have a beautiful day. I hope you are all well, and I am open for questions if there are any. Have a good day.